Welcome to Baraka Church. As Pastor Jonathan Smith continues the series, My Big Fat Mouth. Verbal communication is one of the great things that sets us apart from the rest of God's creation. Through our speech, we can accomplish so much. It can, however, destroy just as easily. Today, we evaluate this great gift of ours and learn of the incredible power in the words we speak.
We are in our last week of our series, My Big Fat Mouth. And if you have not been with us, I would encourage you to go back online and listen or watch the services there. It could honestly be the most practical and challenging messages that I've ever done. First week, we talked about complaining, that oftentimes when we're complaining about somebody or something, it's really not that somebody or something we're complaining about as much as we're complaining about God and the way He is doing things. And then second week, we talked about criticism and how oftentimes we criticize people without even knowing that we're doing it. And if we examine our life, even in our own houses, how we'll criticize our spouse, we'll criticize our children, we'll criticize our coworkers, we criticize our boss. We just have a life full of criticism. And so we looked at that. And then last week, we looked at lying and how when we lie, we speak the native language of our enemy, the devil. And the thing that is most difficult about every single one of these weeks, including today, is on these topics, is so often it happens before we even realize it. And sometimes even after we do it, we don't even realize it. And in many cases, it happens and we never knew it happened. And these things are often not things we can see in the mirror. We don't slow down enough to see them in the mirror, but it's so easy to see them in those around us. It's so easy to see these things in our spouse or our parents or our kids or our coworkers. But sometimes we have a hard time seeing ourselves in the mirror in these things. And as I introduce our subject for today, I want to pray together a prayer that David prayed coming out of Psalm 139. I want to read these two verses to us, and then I want us to pray it together as a prayer to God today. And this is what David says in Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so I want to invite all of us today to pray that as a prayer to God today as we begin. So let's say it together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And with our hearts open to hear from God today, I want to tell you the subject today is a difficult one. And so just look at your neighbor, look at the person you're sitting with, maybe the person across the aisle, and say, this one is for you. Just go ahead and get it out of the way. This one's for you. And if you've got any juicy gossip that you have to share, you've got about 12 seconds to share it. So go ahead and get it out of the way, because after this message, you may not be talking about anything for a long time. Our subject today is gossiping. If you don't like my message and you don't agree with it, you could always gossip about me later on after the message today. But I hope that God's going to speak to you and me in a way that would impact our lives. Let's get into it this way. How many of you have ever been gossiped about? Like somebody's gossiped about you. And no doubt, probably every single hand in the room is raised. And those of you who are online would say the same thing. Like someone was talking about you and it became painful because it wasn't true. Or perhaps there was some truth in it, but it just wasn't supposed to be let out. Certainly in my line of work, that kind of just part of the game. It happens a lot. People will gossip about a pastor, or they'll gossip about a church, and it just kind of happens. In our culture today, gossip just seems like a necessary part of getting through the day. It almost seems like an acceptable part of conversations with our friends. Hey, I'm not really supposed to tell anybody this, but you're not going to believe what I heard. Or you're not going to believe what I just saw. Hey, you've got to promise not to repeat this, but you got to hear this. It's not that big of a deal, is it? I mean, everybody does it. Everybody that we're in contact with gossips time to time. And just so we're all on the same page, I want to give us a working definition of what gossip is, and then we're going to look at what God says about a gossip. And we could look at a bunch of different definitions of gossip, but I heard the most practical definition a couple years ago in a conference that I was attending. It's not a literal definition, but it's very understandable, and I think we can all agree to it today, and it's this. When we're talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we're probably gossiping. When we're talking about a situation with somebody that's neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we're probably gossiping. Not that big of a deal, right? Well, let's see what God says about it. Proverbs 6:16 says this, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him." He doesn't just not like them. God hates these seven things. And in this very short list of things that God cannot stand, that God hates, we find if we drop down to the end of the list in verse 19, a false witness who breathes out lies. That was last week, right? God hates that. And one who sows discord among brothers. And one who sows discord among others. That's exactly what gossip does. God cannot stand gossip. He hates gossiping. Why would gossip make it in such a short list of the things that God hates? I don't know for sure. I don't have that answer for 100% surety, but let me give you two reasons to think about. I'll give you one reason now, and then in a few minutes we'll hit the other one. The first one, I don't know about you, but people can gossip about me, and it may be hurtful, it may be painful from time to time, but I can tolerate it. But you gossip about one of my kids, and that's different, right? That's different. It might even be true. But you say something about one of my children, and man, it fires me up. Think about it for a minute. Every time we talk about someone else in a negative light, who are we actually talking about? We're talking about one of God's children, someone that God created in his image. And that may be one of the reasons why it's so offensive to him. But here is what is crazy about it. Even though this is incredibly wrong and hurtful, most of us would admit that there's something incredibly, grossly attractive about the sin of gossip. Oh man, I've got something to tell you. Right? There's something attractive about that. And Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a whisperer," could be translated a gossip, "the words of a gossip are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." Like, isn't that true? I mean, you can be in a conversation, just a regular old conversation, talking to people, and all of a sudden, somebody says something like, "Hey, did you hear about it?" And all of a sudden, the antennas come up, the ears perk up. You might have been missing 50% of what the person was just saying, but all of a sudden, like, you're like, "What? That happened? Then what'd they do? And did so-and-so know about this?" It's like dainty little morsels. It's like delicious morsels. Like for me, these things right here, they're like peanut M&Ms are like delicious little morsels to me. I mean, they're like the devil for me. I mean, honestly, like I only usually eat them on trips because soon as I open this up and begin eating these, like, I can't even do it right now because if I did it, you'd be watching me eat the rest of these for 25 minutes. I'd finish the bag before I could finish talking. And it's the way it is. Like some of us guys have been doing these road trips on Fridays and like I'm not even bringing these with me because I would eat them all on the road trip. I just can't do it. Right? They're delicious little morsels. I just can't eat one and stop. I've got to keep eating them and keep eating them. I want more and more of them until it's all gone. And that's exactly what gossip is. It's like, so really they did that? And then what'd they do? Did they tell anybody? And who did? And oh my goodness, and oh no, and gossip, it's just all the time. It just continues and continues and continues. I heard it said that gossip can actually travel around the world and back before the truth can get out of bed and put its pants on, especially today with social media. Right? It takes nothing more than a push or a post of a button, and all of a sudden, everybody knows, and it's shared, and you can't come back, you can't retrieve it. It's out there for the world to know. And the funny thing about gossip is that the more that it's shared, the more times it's shared in different ways, the further it actually becomes from the truth. It's like it starts over here as one thing, and by the time it gets over here, it's completely something else. It's not even hardly related at all. We see it all the time in our world. It's kind of like most of you remember playing the telephone game. Some of you maybe still play the telephone game, where you whisper into somebody's ear something, and it passes along a line of people. And it doesn't matter. You can have very few people in that telephone line. And by the time it gets to the end, it's amazing how different it is than what it started. It's actually funny how different it is than what it started. The fact of the matter is, when you've been stung by gossip, regardless of your age, you know the pain that it can inflict. Maybe for you, you lost a friendship over some gossip that somebody shared. Maybe you were really, really embarrassed by something that was put out there. Maybe it has divided your family. Whatever the case may be, gossip is no laughing matter. It can sting because those rumors sink deep into a person's heart. And there's just something grossly enjoyable about participating in the destructive sin of gossip. So why do we gossip? Well, why do we feel it necessary? What is it that drives us to gossip? Those questions were posed to some individuals who gave very honest answers. One person said, well, honestly, if I'm sharing gossip, it makes me feel kind of important. Like I'm in the know. I've got the power in the situation, and all of a sudden, I feel elevated. Somebody else said, when I'm hearing gossip, it makes me feel better about myself. I mean, there's something great when someone else looks bad, and it makes me feel good about myself. One guy said, honestly, I think I've just had such a boring and dull life. Hearing something juicy on someone else, it's like entertainment to me. The bottom line is, we could hear every reason, and we could look at our own reason, and we wouldn't find a single good reason to participate in gossip. In fact, every reason that I might do it is a reflection of the darkness of my own heart. Why do you think God may hate gossip? One reason could be he hates when we make his children look bad. Another reason could be because it's a reflection of the darkness and sinfulness of the human heart. Why do you gossip? There's not a single good reason you could give. So we can probably agree that yes, everybody may do it, but just because everybody does it doesn't mean that it's pleasing to God. And as followers of Jesus, we believe God is calling us to live higher than the culture and to live according to his word. And even though everybody else does something, we want to live in a way that is pleasing to him. Amen. So how do we overcome the sin of gossip? I mean, how do we overcome this when everybody around us is doing it? We may have grown up doing it. Maybe it's just a part of who we are. How do we overcome the sin of gossip? There's a lot in Scripture about this subject. I want to suggest three specific questions that can be very helpful to all of us overcome the sin of gossip. When we're talking to somebody, a great first question to ask is this. Question number one, is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Is my conversation helpful or hurtful? One of the verses we looked at in the previous week is found in Ephesians. Ephesians was written by a guy by the name of Paul. You may remember prior to meeting Jesus that Paul's name was Saul. He had the most hurtful and destructive things said, he said about Christians. And then he met Jesus and became a follower of Jesus. Look at how Paul's tone and message completely changed in this verse we looked at a couple weeks ago, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said in Proverbs 16:27, a worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. My words and your words can burn people. He goes on to say in verse 28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. That word whisper, again, could be a gossip separates close friends. Is my conversation helpful or hurtful? And as a pastor, I've got to tell you, I can't afford to be known as a gossip. That doesn't go well as a pastor, because one of my God-given roles is to carry the intimate details of some people's lives to help shepherd them through it. And I can't be a gossip. But it's so easy to actually disguise gossip sometimes in a compliment sandwich, thinking we have taken the high road to say something nice about somebody. Then, because something nice is said, we just freely gossip. And then we say something nice at the end to make ourselves feel better for what we just said. I don't know if you've ever done this. Like, people ask me sometimes about different pastors. Hey, what do you think about Pastor so-and-so? I mean, oh man, he's a great guy. I really like him. That's the compliment part, right? I don't really like what he does, and he does this, and I think that's a waste of money, and I would never do that, and I heard his kids are out of control, and I think he's got an anger problem, but he's a really nice guy, all right? There's a compliment, gossip, compliment. Hey, what do you think about so-and-so? Oh, man, she's really growing in her relationship with God, but she's really not trustworthy. As a matter of fact, I would never hire, or I would never even let my kids be in the same state as her, but she's really growing in her relationship with God. Right? And I'm exaggerating to make a point, but compliment, gossip, and honest compliment. And that's not helpful. And we need to think about it. The problem with gossip many times is it's very difficult to see in the mirror when we're sharing something. We do it a lot of different things, a lot of different ways. And if we're really honest, some of the best gossip takes place in church prayer meetings. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Like, maybe you grew up in the church. Maybe you're a churchy person. Any of you remember pre-COVID? Maybe, perhaps, hopefully, pre-Baraka church prayer meetings? You know there's got to be, like, the one reason churchy people are thankful for COVID is they're no longer holding hands with strangers. I'm just saying. I mean, because you remember those days. You remember pre-COVID and pre-Baraka. For those of you who grew up in church, you go to a prayer meeting. And prayer meetings can be a mess anyway from the very beginning, because you're sitting around with a bunch of people that you don't know really well. It never fails. The person on one side of you is either like the dead fish hand guy. Like, you're thinking, come on, is there any life in that at all? It's just limp, which is weird and gross and strange. Or it's the sweaty palm guy, which is gross and weird and strange as well. And on the other side, you've got the professional hand squeezer. You know what I'm talking about? The louder he prays, the harder he squeezes. And so all of a sudden, like, I mean, he's waxing eloquent in whatever prayer, and he's like, and Jesus, and he squeezes the hand, and you're like, stop, like, I don't want to do this anymore. That hurts. And before you even get to the prayer part, it's been a gossip session. Like, you spent 55 minutes of the hour talking, sharing prayer requests, and then you have to hurry up to pray. Who do we need to pray for today? Well, I really wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say anything, but I feel the Lord wants me to, because we need to pray for them. I mean, they're in bad shape. I mean, you ought to hear what Sister So-and-so is doing, and I'm really concerned about her, and she's been staying out late at her boyfriend's house, and I drove by there, and her car was there, and it was kind of late, and I came back at 3 a.m. from my Taco Bell fourth meal run, and like, the car was still there, and I just happened to be out early, and at 7 a.m, the car was still there. Like, I think she spent the night. And so I really want to lift her up in prayer, because I'm concerned about her. So let's be honest. That's true, right? I mean, her car was there, right? It's the truth. That's not a lie, it's true. So if it's true, then obviously it's fair game, right? No. No, Scripture doesn't say the line of delineation is true or untrue, but helpful or unhelpful. So here's the deal. Everything we say must be true, right? We're not going to be liars. Everything we say must be true, but everything that's true does not need to be said. Everything we say must be true, but everything that's true does not need to be said. Is it helpful or is it hurtful? And I want my words to lift others up rather than tear them down. Is my conversation helpful or is it hurtful? The next question to ask, question number two, is this. Am I making private matters public? Am I making something that should have been kept in confidence public? And Proverbs 11:12 says, whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor, but a man of understanding remains silent. In verse 13, Solomon again says, a gossip does what? Whoever goes about slandering or gossiping reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Am I making private matters public? There was this couple that a pastor I know was working with. The husband had committed adultery on the wife. It was tragic. It was a horrible deal. And by the grace of God, he was very repentant. And his wife was actually coming around and she was forgiving him. She was growing and she was healing in their, there was growing and healing in their relationship. And so often in a situation like this, the right thing to do at the appropriate time after some healing has happened and time has gone by is to bring a little bit of broader community in, where they have those that are the closest to them, help them heal. We talked about that last week, that we ask God for forgiveness, but we heal through other people by confessing sin to other people. And if you keep a secret forever, then it's a secret and you don't totally heal. And so you bring the appropriate people in at the appropriate time and you get their support. So they went to their life group and they were making it public, and the group was so helpful and so understanding and so gracious and so kind. And the wife was healing even more. And several weeks went by and she continued to heal, and the relationship was being reconciled and everything was going great. Then one lady in the group thought she needed to tell one other lady outside the group. Even though they said, don't tell anyone, this is just for this group. And she told someone else just to have them pray. She shared the prayer request. And this person went on Facebook and told all of her friends to pray. And when it went public, the betrayed wife obviously broke down. She was humiliated. She reacted, I can't even go outside and I can't go out in public anymore. I'm too humiliated to do that. We can never recover from this. And she just spun out and ended up divorcing her husband. They were on the mend toward healing, towards reconciliation. And it wasn't actually adultery that killed the marriage as much as it was the gossip. It's like a destructive, blazing fire, especially in our social media world today. We may think, hey, someone sent me this text so I can forward it to someone else and send it along, and that may seem acceptable, but that really is a form of gossip today. It's taking something that was meant to be private and making it public. And we have to ask, am I making private matters public? And I'm not going to be a part of that for two reasons. I want to protect others, and I also want to protect myself. I want to protect my reputation that I'm a trustworthy person who can keep a secret in confidence. And for those taking notes, you may want to write down the reference, Proverbs 25, 9 through 10. It tells us that when we argue with somebody, not to betray another person's secret. Or others may accuse you of gossip and you'll never regain your good reputation. And let's just be honest, it takes a long, long time to change someone's view of our reputation. Is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Am I making private matters public. Now, if I haven't stepped on your toes yet, go ahead and stick your shoes out because it's coming, all right? And just letting you know, be ready. I don't want to leave anybody out. And as I told the first service, in a time where everyone is offended for anything and everything, we're an equal opportunity toe-stepper and offender group of people. Just letting you know. Question number three. Am I permitting others to gossip? Am I permitting others to gossip? We might not think it's a big deal, but Proverbs 17:4 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. It's amazing to me how many of these verses, gossip and liar, are in the same verse over and over. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. In other words, not only is it wrong to speak the gossip, it's also wrong to listen to the gossip. Why? Because what you permit, you promote. If you listen to it, you're promoting it. If you listen to it, you're participating in it. If you're listening to it, you are facilitating it. What you permit is what you promote. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. So if somebody's always, hey, I've got to tell you this. Oh, you're not going to believe this. Hey, have you heard about this? Like, draw a line in the sand and say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going there. I'm not going to allow you to do that because if I permit it, I'm promoting it. And from a very practical standpoint, if they will gossip to you, what else will they do? They will gossip about you. Do you mind for a moment if I get super practical with you? I'm going to give you three different solutions for stopping a conversation. Because isn't that what, I mean, sometimes we're in this conversation, we know it's not right, we want to stop it, but we don't know quite how to back out of the conversation. So I'm going to give you three different solutions. I'm going to give you three choices. If you want to be really, really loving, that's one choice. If you want to be direct, that's another choice. If you want to do it with an attitude, that's another choice. Loving, direct, or attitude. And before we get there, tell me which one you are. Like, who are you? Which ones of you are like loving? Like, you could see yourself doing it in a loving way, like you're going to be the loving ones. Raise your hand. How many of you are like, you're direct? Like, you're just going to be direct about it. How many of you are going to do it with an attitude? There's some of each. And listen, if you didn't raise your hand for any of them, just raise it up right here because you've already got the attitude, so you might as well just claim it, right? All right, so loving. You want to do it in a loving way. Hey, if so-and-so heard us talking about them, I don't think they would appreciate it. And we want to be good friends to them, so we want to be good friends to them, and they would be a good friend to us, so why don't we talk about something else? All right, that's a loving way to do it, right? Loving. Yeah. Loving. How about direct? Like, listen, if you've got a problem with them, why don't you just go directly to them and have a conversation? And then if you want to add some fuel to the fire, then you say, besides, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 17, like, you ought to go to them. And you throw scripture at them, like, it's kind of like a little punch right in the gut there too, right? That's the direct way to do it. Now, if you want to do it with an attitude, you got to do it right, right? You've got to start off like this, right? You got to move your head a little. You got to get your finger out. I mean, you got a little attitude, right? I mean, let's just practice it. Everybody, let's practice it together. Even if you don't have an attitude, even if you're the loving one, you've got to know how to do it when the time is right. So, I said, I'm not very good at it. Maybe you're not either, but you kind of start out like this, right? And then you say, oh, no, you don't. All right, come on, practice with me. One, two, three. Oh, no, you don't, right? And so you say, oh, no, you don't. And if you keep that up, I'm not going to hang out with you, right? I mean, when you have an attitude, you got to say with you. You can't say with you. The attitude comes with you, right? That just emphasizes it. Oh, no, you don't. if you're going to gossip up in here, I'm not going to hang out with you, because if you're going to gossip to me, you're going to gossip about me, right? That's the attitude. So it doesn't matter how you do it, loving, direct, or an attitude. I mean, now we have some ways we can stop the conversation. And you just draw a line in the sand and say, God is calling me to something higher. And really, that's the thing, isn't it? That as followers of Jesus, it doesn't matter how you do it, but we are called to a higher standard. We're called to not let any corrupting talk come out of our mouth, but that which is for building up, that fits the occasion. That's the higher calling we're called to. And you may say, okay, Jonathan, that means we can never talk about somebody else unless they're there. That's not what I said. You can talk about them all day long. You can brag about them and brag about them and brag about them and brag about them. But can we ever talk about them in a way to help them? And the answer is yes. But those times should be very, very rare when you talk about a person who is not there in any way. That's not a glowing, positive conversation. I heard someone say that they have two rules when it comes to talking about somebody that's not there. Number one, rule number one is, I'm going to talk about somebody else who's not there when, number one, I'm saying something constructive that I would say to their face, something constructive that you would say to them. Rule number two, everyone involved in the conversation has to be there to help the person. If someone's there just to trash the person or gossip about the person, I'm not talking like that in front of them. For example, someone's got an addiction problem, or someone's walking away from God, or someone's cheating on their spouse, and we're like a small group of friends that care about them and love them. Listen, we love this person too much. We've got to go help them get into rehab. We need to talk to them about a recovery program. Let's go make arrangements and let's go do a confrontation with them. Hey, we love this person, and they're doing things that are destructive in their own life. And so because of that, we're going to go sit down and have a real come to Jesus meeting with them and lovingly try to help them. This person is cheating on their spouse. We're not going to let another brother go down like that. So we're going to go stand in his face, and we're going to say, we're not going to let you do this to your wife. We love you and we love her. We're here for you. It's all in the understanding of we love them. We want to help this person. Because the bottom line is, we have to embrace this truth. Your words matter. My words matter. If we were to summarize everything we've talked about in these 4 weeks in this series, it's this. Your words matter. Our words matter. The words we speak are incredibly important and powerful. And Jesus said this, if we could put a bow on this thing, I would use these verses right here, which are very convicting to me. Matthew 12, 36, Jesus said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Like, wow. For some of us, that's going to be a long meeting, right? Verse 37, for by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Your words matter. We're called to a higher calling. We have a higher purpose. What we need to understand is that our words have the power of life and of death. And every time I'm speaking, if you catch me speaking of someone else, I want to be caught speaking well. I want to be caught saying things that are helpful and never hurtful. I wish I could say that that's true about me. I wish I could say every time I open my mouth that I'm always being helpful, that my words are never hurtful. I want to be caught believing the best about the other person and never assuming the worst. I want to be a person who is part of the solution and building others up and never a part of the problem, tearing them down. I want my words to be seasoned with salt, full of love, lifting people toward the things of God and always believing the best. I want my words to be helpful and kind, encouraging and full of blessing and never full of curses, because my words are powerful. And ultimately, I reflect the God who is speaking life into people. Christianity can be summarized in the gospel. Right? We know the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The word gospel means good news. So rather than being a conduit for bad news and death and pain and destruction, I want to be a vessel for good news, sharing the truth and the grace of what God can do in the lives of those around us. So when everyone else says, hey, it's not that big of a deal, you know, it's not really hurting anybody anyway. No, words are powerful. And just because everyone else says it's acceptable, God calls us to a higher standard. And when I'm caught speaking about others, my prayer and my goal and my intent is I want to be caught always speaking life and never speaking death. And I wish I could go back and change some conversations. I'm not going to be perfect in that this week, but that is my goal. That's my plan. That's what I'm striving for. That's what I'm going to ask God to help me with. I want to be caught always speaking life and never speaking death. And Father, I pray today again that by your power, based on the authority of your word that transforms lives, that our hearts would be open to what you would say to us. And God, that our conversations would be different because we've been in your presence.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.